We had people who were street people who aren't often invited to the beach area, to the Banshell area. We had street people whom we had contacted. They came. We had people who were in the fine motels hanging over their balconies. They were listening. We had people eating in the restaurants there on the beach, sitting at the tables listening. And our own annual conference people and the other churches, it was interdenominational. We had some Assembly of God churches joining us and the others in the area. Yes. We all were there together singing and praising God as if we were had known each other forever.
Last June, the meeting of the Florida Annual Conference went outdoors to a beach Banshell to sing and celebrate Jesus. Karen Taylor will continue her inspiring story of what happened as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friends. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and Lee Ann Williamson. An inspiring interview with the leader of Celebrate Jesus. And a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Join in with us as we sing, Let's Just Praise the Lord. Let's sing together. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled, Never Give Up. It is written by Marianna Jones of Ontario, Canada. Marianne writes, We can glorify God even in our struggles. The scripture reference is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. We do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. A friend was complaining that even though she and her husband constantly work at their relationship and seek help from a counselor, they are still plagued with problems. It feels like we'll be working at this forever, she sighed. I suggested that maybe we glorify God as much in the struggle as in the solution. Your children are learning that you don't give up on a relationship, I said. You keep working at it. A similar thought occurred to me when I was hit by yet another battle with depression. Though I take medication, I receive counseling, my old enemy still occasionally returns. I realize that continuing to fight is evidence of faith and trust. The glory is in the struggle. By trusting God through the struggle instead of despairing that I'm not yet cured, I can view each episode as an opportunity to glorify God. We love neat resolutions and happy endings, but it is often in clinging to God when we don't see answers that we witness most convincingly. a watching world would be inspired by a faith that won't quit. May we pray. Oh God, we pray for faith that never gives up. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time. Last week, Karen Taylor, the executive director of a Florida conference ministry called Celebrate Jesus, shared with us how the recent annual conference meeting spent an afternoon going out into the community to witness and share God's love. She is telling us now about the distributed prayer request cards.
And we shared with them the opportunity to pray with us if they had anything in particular they would like to pray about. We gave them a prayer card. We received hundreds of prayer cards of persons with their names and the prayer request, of which we are giving those prayer cards now to the various churches in those areas. If we got an address and zip code, I'm sending them back so they can be followed up by the churches in the area. It was amazing the kinds of responses we got. I didn't hear any negative responses. And I might say that part of the reason for that, we had prayer teams go out prior to this annual conference and literally do prayer walks and prayer drives through the areas before we made the visits.
Yes. And so what you're saying is utterly remarkable. The annual conference shut down its business session for a whole afternoon and sent ministers and delegates out into the community, ringing doorbells, going into places of business, sharing a witness of the love of Christ.
Exactly.
Remarkable. And you had good results. No negative responses?
We did not have negative. Now, of course, it was we made over 4,000 contacts.
Wow.
And so I'm sure that there were some things that I don't know about yet. But every report I get is something positive. And then, on top of that, we had opportunity on Saturday. Session was still in for conference, but we had opportunity to go to the band shell, have all day at the band shell with Christian music groups, and deaf ministry came and worked with us, and we had booths from different churches in the Daytona area, the DeLand and Daytona area, and people came and went all day through that band shell area. In the evening, the conference was let out to come and join us, and we had praise and worship. The wonderful thing about that is that some of the people that were visited on Friday and offered opportunity to come to this, we gave them free tickets. That was something else in the package. Free tickets to come to that on Saturday.
Yes, the music and the witness.
And the witness. Everyone, not all of them, of course, but some of them came to that. We had a joyful thing in my eye I'll never forget. We had people who were street people who aren't often invited to the beach area, to the band shell area. We had street people whom we had contacted. They came. We had people who were in the fine motels hanging over their balconies. They were listening. We had people eating in the restaurants there on the beach, sitting at the tables listening. And our own annual conference people and the other churches, it was interdenominational. We had some Assembly of God churches joining us and others in the area.
Yes.
We all were there together singing and praising God as if we were had known each other forever, and we gave Bibles at that time as well, too. So it was a wonderful day.
Karen Taylor, I joined the Florida Conference in 1952, and I've been to every conference since then. But this is the first time I've ever known of such a thing happening. And I'm so proud of our Florida Annual Conference thinking in terms of reaching out to people to bring them to Christ, to share God's love. And this is wonderful. I've been talking with Karen Taylor. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Leanne Williamson will sing for us now. Leanne is a member of the National Association of United Methodist Evangelists. Listen to this song entitled, Let Your Mercy Flow. Our nation needs a time of repentance and turning to God from our self-indulgence. We need to ask for His mercy as individuals and as a nation. Oh God, let your mercy flow. Here's Leanne Williamson.
humbled by your kindness and lifted by your love. Stretch out your hand today. Come heal our land, we pray. Lord, let your mercy flow. Lord, let your mercy flow.
That was Leanne Williamson, Lord, Let Your Mercy Flow. Today's message is entitled, How to Be Rich and Know the Difference. Here is United Methodist speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in a crowd, Luke says, said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But Jesus said to him, Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And then he said to them, Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. He thought to himself, What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up their treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Amen. This lesson begins, for me, really, on the first verse of chapter 12. It's sort of the backdrop, and you can feel the sensitivity of it. You have to sort of picture to really catch the spirit of the lesson. Hey, listen to it. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Meanwhile, when the crowd gathered by the thousands so that they trampled on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. I want you to try to get that picture. Can you just imagine Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy One of God, is teaching and speaking to his disciples? But now thousands of persons are gathered around to hear what he was teaching them. Of course, some of the scribes and the Pharisees began to come over and try to catch him saying something they could hang him with, but most of these persons were really trying to learn. Jesus was speaking about some very weighty matters like life and death, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, these folks were just hanging on every word, but somewhere in the back of the crowd, there comes this shrill voice, "Rabbi, tell my brother to give me my fair share of the family's inheritance." Now, I have to say, in his or her defense, there was a custom that it was important to bring certain unsettled matters to the review for a respected rabbi, someone who could look at it objectively. But this someone, Luke does not even give the person's name. Jesus calls this person a friend. This someone says, "Look here, teacher, my brother got all the family inheritance, and after my dad died, well, he won't give me any." Where in the world did this guy come from? First of all, what he was asking had nothing to do with what Jesus was teaching. Did you notice that Jesus did not even bite on his comment? "I'm not going to be your judge or arbitrator," he said. Jesus quickly took the situation right in hand, and he began to use it to teach a very important principle for living. Recall what Jesus said. He said, "Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed." Now, you see, in the very presence of God, this man wasn't listening to what Jesus was trying to teach. He was just standing around stewing because his brother kept all the family belongings. Jesus then told the parable about the rich man, who was a fool because he was more concerned about his possessions than having a relationship with God. Now, I want you to understand something. This is a very important lesson. Jesus did not talk about the man having too much money. He did not talk about how he distributed his wealth. He did not suggest that the man give a tithe or even make a donation to the building fund. Jesus did not even call the man into account or ask him just how he spent his money. But Jesus did say to the man that greed in any form will affect your whole life. It will affect it so much that you will miss out on the most important relationship you can have, a relationship with God. I remember a couple, Randall and Caroline. They're one of the most beautiful couples that you've ever seen who belong on the cover of some kind of a magazine, and they, at that time, were in their late 30s. Randall had his own business for about 10 years, I guess, and he was an independent supplier of some highly specialized medical equipment. The lowest priced item he sold at that time was over $100,000, and one sale, he told me, was almost $2 million. Well, Randall earned a lot of money from his business, and he's a real friendly kind of guy, but he had a sort of subtle way to brag about how much he was making. And showed up in things that were expensive. Well, Caroline started her own business a few years ago, and she had not had the business experience that Randall had or any kind of training. But since she was a little girl, she had a collection of all kinds of dolls. She especially loved those ceramic dolls. At 30 then, and her lifelong collection was valued at about $20,000. For some reason, a few Christmases ago, a number of friends and acquaintances requested to buy the dolls from Caroline. Everybody wanted some special one that she had. Well, she wouldn't part with her prized possessions, but she got the idea that she would go into a business and make dolls available to the whole city. Well, to get the quality and the rare kind of dolls that she wanted, she had to invest $150,000 plus the additional operating capital. Well, without experience or adequate collateral, the bank refused her a loan. Randall, her husband, agreed to loan her the money on the same terms that the bank would a high-risk borrower. Well, the dolls were beautiful and expensive, and her shop looked the same. It was a boutique-looking kind of place, and Randall was very nervous about his investment. He called several times a day to see how many sales she had made. For the first 6 months, business was very slow. Caroline could not even make her payments to Randall on the loan, and there was some friction. All of a sudden, toward Christmas, the market began to change, and Caroline was selling all the dolls she could get. Within a year or two, she had earned enough money to pay the money back to Randall to make her loan payment and pay it all back and have new inventory. But the thing is, she did not pay off the loan to Randall. She wanted to use the extra cash to expand. She kept up her payments, but told Randall that he would have to reduce the interest rate. This was so tough on him. He had to reduce the interest rate because she was no longer a high-risk borrower. Well, he refused. While Caroline's taste for expensive clothes and a new Mercedes seemed to fuel her desire to make more money, and she did. She was now earning more money than Randall. And by the fourth year, she moved into her own luxury apartment in the city, and Randall kept the home in the suburbs. Now, they're still married, but they live apart. When I last saw Randall, he told me that They only got together about once, sometimes twice a week, and we have everything separate now, he said. She has her attorney, and I have mine. I have to protect myself, he said. There's a lot of money involved. Well, Randall and Caroline are two of the hardest-working, honest people you ever want to know. And by some standards, you could say that they're both rich. Now, Jesus said, take care, good friends. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Hilbert Sapp was known by many people in the state of Florida. He was a Methodist. He was a successful builder, and he built large government-type buildings. I came to know Hilbert through the Lay Witness Mission Program, and for some reason, he and I became good friends. When I left Florida to come to Georgia, Hilbert would often stop by to see me on his way through Atlanta. One afternoon, he came by my church, and he was driving a brand new Cadillac. He loved those kind of cars. And beautiful car, I said, Hilbert, but the last time I saw you, you were driving a new car. Well, he said, I was coming through Macon this morning, and for some reason, my muffler fell off. I stopped by a Cadillac dealer to get it fixed, and they said it'd take 2 or 3 hours, and I didn't have the time, so I just bought another car and came on. Well, it sounds outrageous, but that's the kind of guy he was, and it didn't mean that much to him. But a few months later, I saw Hilbert, and he and I went to a men's retreat at Leesburg, Florida. The campground there was a retreat center for the Florida United Methodist Conference. One special reason Hilbert was there was to receive an award for the gratitude for the money that he had given to build one of the buildings of the retreat center. Well, I met him just after he received the award, and we were walking down by the lake, and he said, John, you know, I have more money than any man deserves, but I always feel poor. I was reminded of that today when I was introduced. You know, I've given many thousands of dollars to the church and to this conference and in many places. And when I was asked to stand, the speaker introduced me as Mr. Hubert Sipp. John, my name is Hilbert Sapp. He said, it's funny, you know, but it means more to me to have my name right than to be thanked for the money. You see, the money's really not mine anyway. It all belongs to God. Hilbert was converted in a very powerful way through an experience of a horrible automobile accident. He was not expected to live. But he told me, he said, you know, when I woke up from the hospital, I had this clear sense that everything I had belonged to God. I belonged to God, and any possession I had was His. And if I lived, I would do my best to honor that. He lived his life that way for many years and gave away just about everything he had. He was generous and humble. And those who knew him would tell you that he was one of a kind. Hilbert has gone to be with the Lord now, and Hilbert had many, many treasures on earth. But you know, for him, his rarest and most prized possession was the free gift that he got from his Father in heaven. And I want to thank you, Hilbert, for teaching me and helping me to understand what this scripture means. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Thank you, John Wolfe, for that message about becoming eternally rich. John, give us a further word.
Thank you, Whit. Whit, just a quick word. You know, I remember so clearly that walk down by the lake at Leesburg with Hilbert, and to see the joy in his face when he talked about his faith. A man who had all the things that a person could ever want if he wanted things, but for him, he was so clear in his spirit that his treasure in heaven was more than anything else that he had. And his life was a great witness to a lot of people that folks like you and I could never reach. But it's amazing what happens, isn't it, Whit, when a person realizes that the great treasure is the one you get as a free gift. Isn't that incredible, Whit?
It is indeed, John. John, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And John, Jesus was saying that a person is a fool to invest all of time and energy in things which are only temporary. Our treasure is where our heart is, and we are invited to give our heart to Jesus Christ. Dear listener, let God be your treasure. He offers you a priceless gift which lasts for eternity and which brings you joy and fulfillment in this earthly life. Jesus is God's gift to you. Receive Him with gratitude and invest your life in serving Him. Your life will be fulfilled and complete. Surrender yourself at His feet, and you will discover a self-fulfilled, complete. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. and that God-given life is not only for eternity beyond death. It is to be lived and enjoyed in this life on earth. It is abundant life. Why give yourself to the pursuit of junk and garbage when you can enjoy God's presence and God's joy today? Be fulfilled and complete with Christ in your heart. Receive Him today as your Savior and Lord.
Whit, before we close, I'm going to share one more thing with our listeners. A couple of days ago, I received an email inviting me to listen to one of those reels on my iPhone. Well, it was brief, but the woman who spoke was really powerful. The one thing that she said that really hit me was this. She said, "Today, the reason why so many persons are leaving church is that the church is more about what it's against than what it's for." I hate to say it, y'all, but there's a lot of truth in her statements. However, I can tell you this. There are a lot of growing churches that are extremely committed to their ministry to others outside of their churches. And in fact, it is making such a difference in the strength of their own churches. Recently, a dozen youth in our church returned from a mission trip to a very poor section in the mountains of North Carolina. They worked outside in the heat and in the mud, helping residents rebuild their homes and yards. They sweat and they worked without hesitation. They worked as hard as they could without even complaining. One of the youth said to me, "Reverend Wolf, I've been to Disney World twice, but nothing I've ever done meant as much to me as this week in the mountains helping those people. You know," he said, "I felt like I was doing something that really mattered. Sign me up again," he said. You know, it's an amazing thing how doing something for others often makes us feel better about ourselves. If you would like to assist in this ministry, please go to our website. We use PayPal to receive gifts, and it's one of the most secure things we know. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. MethodistHourInternational.com. I pray that God pours out a blessing on you this week as you share the good news with as many people as you can. Blessings on you. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby clergy person. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.